I seen this yesterday, and I was absolutely, I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I said, no way, no how was Tucker Carlson able to somehow, some way, get in contact with Vladimir Putin, and then he was able to do a whole interview with Big Dog, and Putin was just sitting there chilling. Listen, I'm so impressed with Tucker Carlson right now. Content creators, between Shannon Sharp, Tucker Carlson, and content creators that's out there doing their thing, betting on themselves, some of them is winning. Some of them is winning. Some of these content creators betting on themselves. Fox News. Why Fox keep taking L's? Fox News lost out on Tucker Carlson. Fox Sports lost out on Shannon Sharp. And these dudes are winning. They are out here betting on themselves. And I would say that content creators are doing 10 times better of a job at creating content than the producers that are of these major large studios. Y'all don't need them. Y'all don't need them. I couldn't believe it. But the Telegraph also dropped a video of the 5 most important points. So for the sake of time, right, because I feel like I need to do a whole live stream of this. Maybe I need to do a special live stream over the weekend and just break this down and look at the entirety of the interview. The Telegraph basically did a breakdown of 5 points that was very, very impactful as a part of the interview. And so I'm going to show that to you guys because I think it's important for us to at least give a mention and give a nod and give a round of applause and appreciation to Tucker Carlson. And what it is that they were able to do. So let me play this. These is 5 key moments from the Tucker Carlson interview with Putin. And one of the things that he talked about was Elon Musk is almost unstoppable.
There are reports that Elon Musk has already had a chip implanted in the human brain in the USA.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think there's no stopping Elon Musk. He will do as he sees fit. Nevertheless, you need to find some common ground with him. Search for ways to persuade him. I think he's a smart person. I truly believe he is. So you need to reach an agreement with him because this process needs to be formalized and subjected to certain rules.
I agree with him. Let's break this down point by point and let's go point by point. I 100% agree with him. I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk as far as his innovation. But I'm not necessarily a huge fan of where technology is going right now. I think that we are in a moment kind of passing a threshold to where the biggest thing I hate about it is that there's no regulation on it. It's almost like the government is in on it. And there's no threshold and there's no regulation as to why and what people can and can't do and what people should be able to do. With this technology and the limiting factors on it, we can limit anything that we want to. We can close off the borders. We can close off the entire world. We could shut down the world, right? One of the reasons why we have no innovation in the automotive sector, because forget electric cars. Everybody think that electric cars are so novel. They're not. Electric cars has been around since the 80s. It's been around since the 80s. I remember when I was in high school, and I graduated in 2000 because I was born in 1982 when I graduated in 2000. Before that, I remember when I was in elementary school in the early 90s, they used to say to us, man, by the time y'all graduate high school, cars is going to be flying. We ain't even going to be dependent on gas no more. I remember back in high school, they used to tell us that all of this stuff, by the time you do this, you ain't going to be doing it. Man, we still got the same thing. They still riding on rubber. Over there in the Congo, they done chopped off arms in order to continue to manufacture and build up the rubber industry. We wrongly classified some of the most harsh dictators that we consider harsh dictators in history. And we largely ignore the people that was over there in the Congo getting their arms chopped off, all because we wanted to continue to support an industry. You can't tell me that this is not driven by profit. The reason why technology gets throttled is because there are certain industries that would be upended as a result of it. We still riding on rubber tires. We still doing the same old. We still asking and advocating for buttons. We still sitting here mining. Man, come on, man. Stop, bro. Stop. Electric cars has been around since the 80s. We got hydrogen. We got all of these different technologies. And if the government wanted to incentivize production of these things, they would create laws around it. And then we will build the infrastructure to support it. But now the government is then basically playing catch up to everything. They play catch up to the drug laws. They play catch up to the infrastructure. Now, listen, we're going to allocate $125 million in order to fix all of the electric car chargers. We so far ahead from a technological perspective, but that's why Elon Musk is feared. And one of the things that we need, this is a very, 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 very rare occasion, but I advocate for government regulation. I largely think that the government needs to separate themselves and remove themselves from influencing and impacting business in a way that they're doing it today. But I think that we need government regulation when it comes to artificial intelligence, all of these chips, Neuralink, and all of this stuff, because we basically accelerating our own demise. It's obvious. It's so obvious. I seen a report yesterday or a thing where they basically trying to replace newscasters with artificial intelligence. And they trying to remove y'all from the news now. It's crazy, man.
Subjected to certain rules.
One of our senior United States senators from the state of New York, Chuck Schumer, said yesterday, I believe, that we have to continue to fund the Ukrainian effort, or U.S. soldiers, citizens could wind up fighting there. How do you assess that?
Well, if somebody has the desire to send regular troops, that would certainly bring humanity to the brink of very serious global conflict. This is obvious. Do the United States need this? What for? Thousands of miles away from your national territory. Don't you have anything better to do? You have issues on the border, issues with migration, issues with the national debt, more than $33 trillion. You have nothing better to do, so you should fight in Ukraine? Wouldn't it be better to negotiate with Russia? Make an agreement, already understanding the situation that is developing today, realizing that Russia will fight for its interests to the end?
So let's back that up. He's basically saying everything that we're saying. I'm not sure that I agree with what Russia's position is, right? But he's basically telling you in plain language what's happening. He said, listen, y'all really in war. Y'all just fighting it through them. And so instead of y'all actually sending troops over, because see, this is the beauty of it, right? Because he's basically explaining it to you from a C student's perspective, exactly what's happening with Ukraine. He said, listen, Chuck Schumer said we got to continue to fund Ukraine so that we don't send American soldiers over there, right? So basically you saying we at war with Russia through Ukraine. So we're leveraging Ukraine in order to be able to fight this war. And so instead of us actually fighting it with American troops, we send in money, resources, military equipment, and so on and so forth, and technology. So when I see people and all of these people that say, yo, we not at war. We don't do this. Are we? Is it a lie? Is it a white lie? Is it something that we really actually doing, but we actually pretending like we not? And so we leveraging other people in other countries in order to do our bidding and we're funding it. Is this why it's so important for us to continue to advocate against updating what's going on with the border crisis in order to make sure that we funding what's happening over in Taiwan, Ukraine, and even Israel? He's basically telling you, yes. And I know that it's a lot of people that understand this. But for the people that's slowing it back, let me break it down for you. He said, listen, y'all got bigger issues to deal with. Now, again, I can't sit here and say that I agree or I disagree with Putin. I'm just breaking down what he's saying, right? Because no matter what, I'm always going to be American first. I'm always going to be America first. I may not necessarily agree with my leaders. I may not necessarily rock with what's going on here. But at the same time, I have to support the thing that's in my own best interest, right? So there's a lot of nuance, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that's happening behind the scenes. But for your legislative branches to basically be holding off packages that would allow for us to continue to fund what's going on at the border, for us to continue to be running up the national debt, for inflation to be out of control, for us to be sitting here talking about how it is that people are basically living van life, yet we're funding a war, according to what Putin is saying, we're funding a war that's not even in our own best interest when you look at what's happening on American soil, is wild. That's what he's saying. Let's continue.
Realizing that Russia will fight for its interests to the end?
So I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding what you're saying. I don't think that I am. I think you're saying you want a negotiated settlement. Sure, I'm not misunderstanding what you're saying. I don't think that I am. I think you're saying you want a negotiated settlement to what's happening in Ukraine.
Right. And we made it. We prepared a huge document in Istanbul that was initialed by the head of the Ukrainian delegation. He affixed his signature to some of the provisions, not to all of it. He put his signature and then he himself said, we were ready to sign it and the war would have been over long ago, 18 months ago. However, Prime Minister Johnson came, talked us out of it, and we missed that chance.
Who blew up Nord Stream?
I heard that Tucker Carlson can't travel to certain countries as a result of doing his interview with Putin.
Then came, talked us out of it, and we missed that chance.
Who blew up Nord Stream?
You for sure.
I was busy that day. Nate, I did not blow up Nord Stream. Thank you, though.
You personally may have an alibi, but the CIA has no such alibi.
Did you have evidence that NATO or the CIA did it?
You know, I won't get into details, but people always say in such cases, look for someone who is interested. But in this case, we should not only look for someone who is interested, but also for someone who has capabilities.
I just got to ask you one last question, and that's
also for someone who has capability.
Let me break that down. So a lot of y'all are not familiar with what Nord Stream is. So Nord Stream is basically a pipeline that was blown up, and he's saying, listen, Tucker Carlson basically asked him, hey, who caused these explosions in the Nord Stream pipelines? And it's two pipelines, and he's saying, who caused this explosion in the Nord Stream pipelines that was basically breaches and it was caused by man-made explosives? And Putin just told him flat out, he said, y'all did it. Now, the thing about it is that the theory was, if y'all not following international politics, if y'all not following what's happening internationally, I haven't introduced it into the Millionaire Morning Show because I'm still trying to get y'all used to embracing what's happening locally before we start to address what's happening nationally. The theory was, or what was being proposed by multiple different reports and news outlets, was that Russia blew up its own pipelines. Obviously, I don't know. All I'm doing is breaking down from a C student's perspective exactly what happened. But it's largely believed that, according to Putin, that the United States and its allies were the ones that then affected what was happening with these pipelines. Okay? So he's basically telling you what happened, and he's according to his opinion, and he's saying that, listen, this is how it played out. Y'all were the ones that were part of it. Why would we blow up our own pipelines? I'm just telling you from a C student's perspective. For those of you in the back that don't understand what's going on and what questions are being asked, this is what he's saying. Let's continue.
I just got to ask you one last question, and that's about someone who's very famous. In the United States, probably not here. Evan Gershkovitz, who's the Wall Street Journal reporter.
Мы столько сделали жестов доброй воли, что мне кажется, мы исчерпали все лимиты.
We have done so many gestures of goodwill out of decency that I think we have run out of them.
Ни разу не ответил.
We have never seen anyone reciprocate to us in a similar manner. However, in theory, we can say that we do not rule out that we can do that. If our partners take reciprocal steps. I do not rule out that the person you refer to, Mr. Gershkovitz, may return to his motherland. By the end of the day, it does not make any sense to keep him in prison in Russia. We want the U.S. Special Services to think about how they can contribute to achieving the goals our Special Services are pursuing. We are ready to talk. Moreover, the talks are underway. And there have been many successful examples of these talks crowned with success.
So, let me tell y'all who Aaron Gershkovitz is. Aaron Gershkovitz. Evan Gershkovitz, all right? This is a guy that basically worked for the Wall Street Journal. And he was basically captured, and they're basically accusing him of espionage, okay? And then you have Paul Whelan. I know some of you guys may be a little bit more familiar with Paul Whelan. I'm surprised that Tucker Carlson didn't actually mention Paul Whelan also. Paul Whelan is also being held, and so Evan and Paul are both what they're considering prisoners of Russia that's still on the chopping block, and they're being held in Russian prisons. In order to basically negotiate for exchange with the United States of America. Now, let's have a conversation. Why is this relevant to us? Why is this relevant on the Millionaire Morning Show? Well, let's go back a little bit. Remember when Brittany Griner got captured over there for having a vape pen and having some trees over there in Russia when she wasn't supposed to be having that in the first place? And then we traded basically the Lord of War. We traded the Russian Merchant of Death in order to get her. And then they were talking about, and they basically did that in order to satisfy the culture and black people and voters, in my opinion. They negotiated and got Brittany Griner back, and they left Evan and Paul Whelan over in Russia. Yeah. Brittany got captured later. And we had made such a stink about it, but nobody ever mentioned Evan and nobody mentioned Paul. And even when Brittany Griner came back over here, she said specifically that one of their objectives was to get Paul Whelan and advocate for Paul Whelan to get back in Evan. Yep. And guess what? Nobody has anything to say as a result of it. Let me see if I can pull that footage up right now. Griner, Paul. I don't know if y'all remember this, but check this out. Check this out. I want to revisit this because I don't want y'all to forget. See, I have a long memory. I have a little bit of a long memory, and I want y'all to actually remember what happened. Okay, over a year ago, when Brittany Griner came home to her girlfriend, one of the things they said that they was going to do is do what?
This morning, Brittany Griner is back home in Phoenix, just in time for the holidays. The two-time Olympic gold medalist shared the news on Instagram, along with new photos showing her first step on American soil and the moment she reunited with her wife, Sherelle. It feels so good to be home.
I'm sorry, not her girlfriend, her wife.
Griner wrote, speaking out for the first time since she returned to the U.S. little over a week ago. The last 10 months have been a battle at every turn. I dug deep to keep my faith, and it was the love from so many of you that helped keep me going, Griner wrote. The U.S. Special Envoy who helped secure her release also expressing gratitude after a hard-fought battle.
We're grateful to have her back. It was a long, hard slog to get there, and the feeling is almost magical.
After 10 months in Russian captivity, the WNBA superstar spent her first week home at San Antonio's Fort Sam Houston base, renowned for treating people held captive abroad. Griner thanked the staff there for the time and care to make sure I was okay and equipped with the tools for this new journey. And that journey will include basketball, Griner confirming she intends to play for the Phoenix Mercury this season. With the first game set for May, Griner returns to the court with new passion and purpose, calling on the president to continue working to bring Americans wrongfully imprisoned abroad, including Paul Whelan, home, adding, "I will use my platform to do whatever I can to help you."
Now, question. At what point did we see Brittany Griner or anybody in our administration continuing to work on the behalf of Paul Whelan or Evan? Anybody in the administration working on the behalf of Paul or Evan? That was short-lived. That was short-lived. We traded who was called the Russian Merchant of Death. I was covering it here. I'm so glad and thankful to be I don't consider myself a journalist, a content creator here on YouTube that covered the important topics. And they said that they was going to use a platform. The Biden administration said that he was going to continue to work to get these guys home. And they said, and we didn't hear anything. And as usual, we got distracted by Tyrese or Diddy or something. Or something, some Supreme Court ruling that ain't even relevant to nothing that's going on inside of this country. And everybody forgot about it. Poof. And that was the end of it. That was the end of it. Nobody protested. Nobody advocated for it. Nobody cared about these Wall Street Journal journalists that was captured. We didn't even remember that it was even a thing until Tucker Carlson sat here with Vladimir Putin and asked him the question about the exchange of prisoners. Nobody cares. Does it move the numbers? Does it move the polls? Nobody cares whatsoever. Man, listen. They advocated for and they negotiated and they fought feverishly. They got this chick home so fast. So fast. But they left them dudes over there in Russia. And so when I hear Vladimir Putin then say something completely different, when I hear him say, listen, I'm willing to negotiate, but they ain't really checking for these dudes over here. Okay, well, it actually means something. But shout out to Tucker Carlson for the interview. I might just go and do a full breakdown because that's more or less up my alley. I don't know. Maybe I should do it on a different platform. Maybe I should do it on After Hours or something. Or maybe I'll do it on the Millionaire Morning Show. I don't know. We'll see. But maybe I'll do a special one over the week. I have no idea. But I think that interview was so incredible. And I listened to it. While I was in the shower and I was getting ready and stuff like that. And it was a lot of good meat in there. And I think that we need to start pushing the envelope a lot more for the things that we want to hear and the things that we're interested in. Are we ready for that here on the Millionaire Morning Show? Or do we continue to want to, you know, are we mature enough to have those type of conversations? Are we at the point where we can start participating and start evaluating what's going on with foreign relations and international issues and money when it comes to global demand and what's really happening as far as these wars are we still caught up in the nonsense and the BS? Are we still trying to check for what Blueface's baby mama, why she's still letting her daughter or her son cry too much? I'm just saying, do we need to add a segment in or do we need to see whether or not Blueface's tattoo healed correctly on the side of her face, and people tuning in to see whether or not she's going to let her baby continue to cry? I'm just asking. Y'all let me know because y'all are the ones. Y'all are the ones that determine, listen, Chat Lives Matters, and y'all are the ones that help to determine what happens and goes on over here on the Millionaire Morning Show, okay? Or maybe we just need to do a separate segment so that the people that love what it is that y'all doing on that side and the people that really want to get to it on this side, we have some special nights that we just do political night or something, or we do international foreign investments and we just break that down. If y'all ready to go into that, then I'll create the space for it. But I'm not going to do it unless the people embrace it.